Hey, do you up a G tree?
Do you up a G tree?
You are now tuned in with Team G3, with me as your host, Campbell Outdoors. Hey, hey, welcome back. Episode number 3, Campbell Outdoors Podcast. Once again, we have Team G3 here in the building.
Yeah, how we doing?
We doing. So this podcast right here, we're gonna throw it back quite a ways. This is our first ever archery elk hunt as a team and as individuals. What would that have been, 6 years ago? No?
Or yeah.
Six?
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah.
Seven?
At least.
Seven, eight maybe?
Yeah, oh. At least.
I don't know, it's been a while.
And mind you, this was supposed to be a buck hunt because we scoped these bucks out, yep. These big bucks.
Yeah, so kind of what's going on here is we had archery tags for blacktail buck, and we went up to an area that we knew that had some bruisers, and we get up there and it was freaking seven bucks together. And we saw them that following weekend, right before opening weekend. And then we said, well, shoot, let's go back there and hunt those. Cause I mean, that's a good little holt we can put down on those. And
right.
They hang out in those bachelors in the summer. But, what we come up there opening weekend and what happened, Dad?
Well, we went up there. Well, prior to that, we went up there the weekend before to scout for these bucks. Cause we had bow tags for deer. So we went up there to scout for these bucks. We saw seven good, I mean, like, these are good bucks. Like, probably...
Like 130 to 150.
Yeah, they're right black in that tail. Range. Velvet bucks, bachelored up, good scenario. So we're like, and mind you, we had elk tags in our pocket as well. So we say... Well, screw it. We're going to go back and we're just going to hunt these deer.
We're going to
buck hunt. We're going to buck hunt. We had another spot kind of halfway picked out that we were going to elk hunt for opening season. But we decided to just chase these bucks.
Well, and then before that, though, the only reason why this even happened is about 2 weeks before that, we caught that cow on camera. And that was the first time we'd ever seen elk up there, period. Since
yeah.
We've been hunting there, yeah. the unit.
Yeah, in this particular area, yeah. And we, and you and I, Tyler, were together that particular weekend.
That we saw the cow.
Yeah, that we saw the cow. And so we told Jay about it, and we're like, hey, man, we need to go scout this area and check it out for elk. And so we go back opening weekend, and we hike out on that same ridge.
Crest it over.
Hoping to catch those bucks, and I see some movement, and I throw my glass up,
and it's elk
about 70 head,
which for around Western Oregon, Roosevelt, if you guys all agree, that's a big damn herd.
That's a big number.
Big herd to hunt.
Yeah,
it's a big number.
Quite a few bulls in it, if I remember right.
Four or five bulls. The first year they didn't break at all. There was four or five big bulls in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were some toads in there. Like, I threw my glasses up and I was like, elk. I'm like, there's a good bull.
There's five good bulls. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, if you guys remember right, I wasn't even in sight of any of those.
You were on the other side of the ridge, right?
Right. And you guys radioed to me and said, hey, we're changing the game plan up here. There's elk here. There's no bucks. There's elk. So,
well, and hearing that over the radio just right away is going to get you all juiced up.
Oh, yeah. That's the hair on the back of your neck stood up, and where are we at?
Yeah.
So you guys called me over, and we all regrouped.
Yeah.
And put a plan together, and, yeah, it was... I mean, I can't even remember what happened after that. It was so just...
Well, that, I mean,
well,
like...
Well, basically what happened, so we spotted those elk on the ridge out of the gate.
And mind then, you, it was about 500, 600 yards to the bottom of the canyon.
Yeah, they were, well, at the point we spotted them, they were well out of bow range. They were, I don't know.
Long ways off.
Yeah, long ways
but
off.
But they were just feeding, yards, doing their thing. They weren't.
Yeah, they were clue doing we their were thing. There.
Yeah. No clue. Yep. Yeah. So Jay finally meets up with us, and then we formulate this plan, right? And so, grant you this, we were all pretty new to this whole bow hunting scene.
It was our first time ever doing it.
Well, in the area too, the area we were in, we didn't know where those elk were going to go or what they were going to do. So we were, you know, we put a plan together thinking, okay, this is going to work from what we know.
We were shooting from the hip.
Yeah. Right. Shooting from the hip. So so Tyler and I decide to kind of hang up high on the ridge, and Jay decides, after they had fed down into the canyon, he decides that he's going to go down in there after him and kind of circle him.
Yeah.
So Tyler and I are kind of waiting or whatever, you know, and Jay gets down there and he decides that he's kind of a little bit thinking that there's some elk in the brush, because like where we were at, it was high country, so there's a bunch of vine maple and whatever else. So he was kind of thinking that there was elk in the brush, but he wasn't sure.
Well, and that was the thing too, with that big of a herd, dude. It was
they were so scattered
that you'd go somewhere and then you'd be like, well, crap, they're right there to our left. Okay, they're our right. Okay, they're straight in front. Yeah. So I was like, what do we do?
Yeah. So Jay gets down in there, and you know, now grant you, we've always been pretty ethical about what we do, and so Jay sees these elk in the vine maple, and he maybe had a face shot, maybe not, who knows, but he's like, there's bulls in this vine maple.
Well, and that face shot was at what, Jay? 20 yards?
20 yards through the brush. I could have smacked him in the side of the head at 20 yards.
But you wanted to know you had a good, clean, smooth.
I just didn't feel that would put him down. Yeah. So, you know, just waiting for that, you know, just waiting for that shot.
Yep. Well, Andy had his pants down, and that's a
whole nother topic. Yeah, yeah. Hold on. Let's
that's
back
a whole, that's hold a whole on, hold topic. On, hold on.
We got to go into this.
We got to go. Here we go. So how did this go, though? Because before we get to the scene where we got all crazy, what happened prior to you even getting on the elk?
Well, you know, early in the morning, and you know how nature works. You get that feeling in your guts, and you're... You want to hold out, and I was holding out, trust me.
It gets to a point.
It gets to a point where, like, I got to back out of here a little bit and do what I got to do. And so, yeah, I think, you know, I'm waiting and no elk around. I'm thinking, okay, they moved a little farther down the canyon. We're good here.
You're going to read your morning newspaper.
So, yeah, I'm going to read my morning newspaper and radio to the guys. Hey, you know, I got to do my duty here, keep an eye out. So, yeah.
I'm going to shit this thing off.
And as soon as I get to doing my duties and reading the newspaper,
the elk walk by you.
The elk pretty much walk by me. So, yeah.
And there's Jay with his pants down.
Bow on the ground.
50 elk, single file line, walking up the ridge. I mean, just walking right back up towards me. And
some people listening to this podcast might say, okay, timeout. If there was 50 elk walking by you in single file line,
you couldn't pull your pants up quick enough?
How could you not pull your pants up quick enough and get to your bow?
Well, I had to scurry around this little rock knob to kind of see what the noise. All I heard was noise and cracking.
What was it?
It was a little rock knob. So, you know, you hear stuff and you think, oh, that sounds like this or that sounds like that. And you're sitting there and all this crap's going through your mind and coming out your butt.
Literally.
So, you know, you're like, oh, that's elk. Well, by the time I'd got over to this trail where they were coming up through, half of them had already
crossed.
So I get busted by this cow. And so this is where it all starts.
Yeah, this is where it unfolds.
So, you know, I run back and I grab my pack and stuff, and I'm kind of hanging out there just being really quiet because I don't know where the elk are now. They're all around me.
Get on the radio.
So I get on the radio and I call Craig and Tyler. Now, mind you, these guys are 500 yards up the hill.
We were probably a mile away.
A couple ridges, and literally within, and just to give you an idea, you would go a quarter of a mile and be 1,000 feet in altitude, right?
It was
rock bluffs and straight up and down. So anyways, long story short, I get my call out and I try to call this bull in because this cow busts me. I'm full draw on this bull and I look over and this cow to the right is looking at me. So I'm thinking, oh man, I just hold tight. This bull's gonna come closer.
Pants are down to his ankles at this point.
But hey, had I known I could have killed a cow.
Exactly.
I would have spun and I could have killed that cow.
So at 10 yards.
So
in Oregon, like we said, this was our first year, so we didn't know all the guidelines, regulations, all that stuff. We'll come to find out on what is it on national ground, you can kill anything, right? It's a fur tag.
No.
Correct? How does it go?
So there's some pieces of federal ground that you can kill anything, but it's unit specific.
And that unit we were in.
That unit we were in, we could kill anything.
And we didn't know that. We thought it was bull only.
Right.
So back to your part where you're drawn on the bull. You could have killed the cow.
Could have killed the cow. I was like, no. It was bull only, whatever, horns. So they blew out of there. I stood there for probably 20, 30 seconds. The wind's whipping. I'm on top of a ridge. And the wind's just going everywhere. So they blew out of there. They didn't go far. They went about 50 yards away. So I got my cow call out, and I started calling. And the bull had all the cows herded up into, a pile.
He answered, though, right?
He answered right back.
Yeah.
And he'd come 50 yards and look and back out.
Yeah.
And then he'd come as soon as I called, and he'd back out. So I'm sitting there and I'm radioing the guys up the hill saying, okay, and these elk here, I can't get them to do anything. And I wasn't at a spot where I could, take a move. Shot or move at all.
Right.
So down below me, I hear another call and the elk look downhill. And I called back. They look back at me. Well, the second time the guys down the hill called, those elk shot out of there like a bullet. They took off towards my hunting partners,
and these were different guys, right?
They were not a part of our group.
It was just us three hunting that day.
Yeah. I could tell that it was somebody else down. I knew that it wasn't elk. I knew that it was not elk.
Yeah,
these elk blew out of here towards my hunting group, my party. So I get on the radio and hey.
They're coming your way.
I'm following. They're running up the ridge. They're going to drop in right in your lap.
Yeah.
And after that, you guys know the story because I wasn't there. I was winded and trying to climb 1,000 feet and
see what's going on.
So
I crest the ridge.
Yeah. So after that, we're thinking how in the hell are these elk headed our direction? We're a long ways away, a mile apart. How does Jay know that these elk are headed our way, right? And so...
Just off of where they came up and...
Yeah, off of just basic...
They could have went anywhere. Right. There were so many hiding holes and places they could have went and ran down into, canyons and...
In this particular area, I have known this area pretty well, so... Like topography-wise.
Well, you've been hunting it since you were 12. I've been hunting since I was 12.
Yeah, I've been hunting that area for a long time.
And mind you, this is my second year there.
Yeah.
Right.
First year hunting.
Right.
Second year being up there.
Yes, second year being up there.
Yep.
Yeah. So topography-wise, I'm thinking, how in the hell does Jay know that these elk are coming our direction? But...
Sure as heck.
Well, knowing the people that we hunting with and knowing the relationship that we have, I'm like, if Jay said these elk are coming our way, they're coming our way. So Tyler and I are together. So we start beat feeting around the ridge there, kind of around the horn. And we get to a spot where it's like a bunch of trees and there's no cover from, I don't know, probably 500 yards.
We were caught with almost, it's almost like we were caught with our pants down.
Right.
In the middle of the open when they crested, because they were on the move quicker.
You guys are thinking, how the hell are these elk going to run a mile away right to us?
Exactly. So basically,
who like would have guessed it?
No, you
right?
wouldn't. You yeah. wouldn't.
And how many people have told us, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just say you had to be there. But we were pretty much caught on the side of this hill, and there was one little, very good. Hey, we're soda time. So we're caught on this hill, and we're in the middle of pretty much nowhere, and there's a patch of trees probably
We did work out yesterday at the gym, by the way.
We did. This is day three. It's off day.
Yeah. So, Cam, we're going to pass you up, bud.
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, man. Yeah.
Hey,
Cam Hanks, keep hammering.
So anyway, we're out in the middle of nowhere and there's this patch of trees in front of us. So we're stuck to a point where like, hey, they're coming straight towards us. You know, they see us, we see them. What do we do type deal? So we're sitting there and you had your new Montana decoy. What
yeah.
did we decide to do?
So I'm kind of scrambling. Like we see this herd crest the ridge and timing wise, I don't know how this could have worked out any more perfect than what it did, but timing-wise, Tyler and I are kind of creeping through the trees or whatever, and it, at that point, you know...
But it's like tree to tree, like you're going army style, like bouncing behind a tree to another tree.
The trees are sparse.
Yeah, they're like 50 to 100 yards apart.
Yeah.
So we're kind of scrambling from tree to tree to tree to tree to tree. And we get to this last patch of timber, and it's nothing but wide open space from here on out.
So I slipped into it, and you stayed above it.
Yeah, so I'm like, Tyler, I'm like, we need to spread out a little bit here. I said, if these elk are coming over this ridge,
we got to get a shot.
We need to spread out and make it work. So we kind of spread out a little bit or whatever. Tyler drops down the hill probably 50 yards-ish. And I'm up the hill 50 yards. And so we get to a point where we see these elk crest the ridge, and there's two good 6 points in this herd. And I don't know, probably what? I don't know. At that point, there was probably like maybe what, 20 cows?
Yeah, there was about 20, 25 cows.
Yeah, 20, 25 cows and two good 6 points. And the
one was he. Body wise,
the one was a pig.
He could hardly move up the hill.
Absolute slob. He was just like a boom, blah, blah, blah.
he was just a hog.
So by the time they get to us, they're pretty winded, or at least that big bull was pretty winded. So at that point, they kind of funnel into this little narrow trough, like kind of in front of me.
Well, he don't know what to do. He's like,
I don't know where we're going, what's happening, and whatever else. So
were the cows on up in his ass, or were they like?
Everybody was kind of feeding.
Yeah,
he was kind of feeding, and they were doing their thing. Like they ran over the ridge, and they kind of stopped, and they were like feeding. And so
it was almost like they wanted to settle down because they're like, okay, we're out of here. But then it's like they ran onto us,
right?
So they're like, oh, shit, there's more people.
Yeah, but they didn't know we were there at this point.
Yeah.
Holy crap, there's another elk right there.
Yeah, because there was a little tiny ridge like in between us and them. And so we were kind of, Tyler and I were like, okay, well, let's try to cow call, you know. And at this point, Tyler was down the hill. At this point, we'd kind of merged back together. And because I'm like, hey, the cows are right, or everybody's
minus
right here
me.
In front of me.
I'm still
right
coming minus up the Jay. Ridge 1,000 feet.
No. Exactly. So Tyler works his way up the hill to me or whatever, and we're kind of tucked behind this ridge. And this would have been the funniest thing ever if you were looking at this from the top end or anywhere else besides
we'll tap in on that in a minute because we did have a viewer across the canyon.
We'll get to that later.
So anyway, so Tyler meets back up with me, and I'm thinking, I'm scrambling. I'm like, we tried to cow call. The bull would come a little ways, and he'd stop, and then he'd go back to his harem. And then he'd come a little ways, and he'd stop, and he'd go back to his harem. So they're probably like, I don't know what, 120 yards out from us, give
yeah,
or take.
Yeah, about right at 120.
And they were kind of hanging right there.
Because they were flustered. They didn't know what to do.
Yeah, they didn't know what was going on. So I'm like, Tyler, I got an idea. So I had this Montana decoy in my pack.
But you're not in Montana.
But I'm not in Montana. Right.
Elk's an elk.
Right. So I get this Montana decoy out. Snap that thing together. And I start heading that direction, right? So I got, if you could picture this, I have a Montana decoy.
A bow in the other.
In my left hand, or my right hand, okay? Sorry. Got a bow in my right hand, okay? But my release, or my left hand. Anyways. However it worked out, it was opposite.
It was a flustered situation. I mean, it was...
Right. So, I got my release on my hand that has the decoy in it, and I got my bow in the other hand. And so, I'm thinking, and I got a diaphragm call in my mouth, right? So, I'd creep out there a little ways. Tyler was behind me. I'd cow call. Bull would come almost within range, and then he'd kind of peel back out.
Yeah, you get to like 80.
Yeah. And so we kind of creep a little closer, and I'm thinking, man, what? How's this gonna work out? Like, if I get this bull in range, am I gonna drop the decoy real quick and hook my string and shoot? Like, how is this gonna work, right? And so we worked this situation for probably like. What, Tyler? 20 minutes?
Well, the thing about it was is that you had your decoy out, and we were trying to work in there, and the bull kept peeling off. Well, like we said back earlier, knowing that we could shoot a cow, when I slipped into that patch of timber that we had, there was a perfect game trail cut right through the middle that I walked to the edge. Right. And I could look through the timber and see that bull up above where you were trying to get out on him, and he'd come back forth, like you said.
Right.
And I had a cow... at 25, 30,
yeah,
through the trees, where it's like, okay, cool. If I would have known, plug a cow,
busted
cool.
Her.
We're busting her. We're hiking meat out to the top. So we get back to a point where I got my release on my string, ready to go. This bull's not coming. The other bulls are hanging way back, whatever they were doing. And this one, the lead bull, he was trying to come back and forth. Well, long story short, you couldn't get in close to him, and that was that. And I didn't know he could shoot a cow, and they busted out. And then I looked back at you, and that was it. I mean, it went so quick. It went from a long sit to hey, what are we doing here? To all of a sudden, okay, cool. He said, screw this. We're peeling out, called his cows, and took off.
And mind you, that was probably like, I mean, from what you guys told me, because I was on the other side of the ridge again trying to hike up, that was 20, 25 minutes.
Oh, it was a long... It was
sitting there in that timber, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
With that decoy calling them in and stuff.
Yeah.
And we'd inch a little bit closer and a little bit closer, and we were in the wide open.
And it just didn't work.
It just didn't pan out. But, I mean, you know, I don't know. I guess...
Experiences like that, though, I mean...
Well, that's what makes you
if you don't put something on the ground, that's good stories and good... experience for, okay, I learned something here.
Right.
Yep.
And we did that day. I mean, we learned a lot, but the particular situation we were in was not really accompanying what we wanted to do. Like, they were in the wide open, and we were kind of pinned down.
Yep.
Oh, and they wouldn't come. I mean, you know, it was that time of the year where the bull was... He was curious about our calls, but he wasn't like, okay, I'm leaving the herd. I'm coming over and seeing what the hell's going on. He was kind of like, no, I'm just rounding my shit up. I'm gonna scare you off, this other bull off, and I'm going to hang back.
Well, and now looking at it, like we said at the beginning, that was our first year hunting. Looking at what we've learned now, it makes sense exactly what he did is what they're going to do.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Yes. It does.
Well, totally, because, I mean, they were still feeding. They were up. They were running around. And they were like, you know, if they would have been bedded, it might have been a different situation.
Bedded, he would have killed right off.
How about this? We get done with all that, and we're like, hey, let's regroup and drive down. We know where they're going. The direction they went, we know that area. I mean, we know that area better.
To an extent.
To an extent. So we get in the truck, and we drive down, and one guy's on the ground, and one guy's in the truck, and we have radios out, and we're like, you know, looking for tracks, where'd they go. This other dude pulls up next to us, stops us in the road, and says, hey, saw the whole thing go down from the other side of the ridge. You guys get one of those elk? And we're just looking at this guy going...
And we said what? We said, we didn't even know there was elk in here. We were buck hunting.
Right.
And the guy's like, wasn't that you guys over there on the ridge? We're like, no, that wasn't us. We don't like to give up our hunting spots. That's the number one rule. Period, paragraph. You cannot give your hunting spot up.
Keep your mouth shut.
Period.
That's why...
Yeah.
We don't give it up.
Yeah. We don't give it up, period.
So, yeah, after this guy asks us about seeing the elk or whatever, we freaking obviously said no, and whatever it was because, like we said, we didn't expect to see elk when we came up there.
We knew where they were going, though. We don't know this place and this and that, but we knew where they were going because this drainage they were going into, we had seen lots of tracks there. And let's back up. We had scouted this place during the summer quite a bit.
And we saw the elk sign, and we were like, there's no elk in here. What is this? What's going on? And mm-hmm. and I think a lot of what it was is those fires, they got pushed into new areas, and they came there. Yeah. It's a really good area for that stuff. And and it just fell in our lap, like we were here buck hunting, and here's the elk.
It did. Yeah. We had several years after that that, I mean, stay tuned. We had several years in this spot that are
full killer, stories.
Full of stories, with pictures.
With some elk going to the ground.
I mean, you guys have to say, listen, right? For the next 2 years, we never went up there and hunted an elk season weekend without seeing animals, right? We always seen elk.
And we were the only people to know about it. And this is the thing too of hunting public land. If we get back to that topic, we always talk about that. This is just the struggle that you go through on public land. You always deal with the other asshole hunter,
which I'm sure I'm the other asshole hunter in some cases, but it's just what
people
you deal with.
People just talk.
They talk.
Period. I mean,
not G tree.
Yeah. Hey, not when you're doing up a G tree.
I'm keeping my mouth shut so we can get in on that kill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you battle with all that, but the whole moral of this story is this kind of is what got us hooked on archery elk hunting. And to think about, if we're you listeners of who have been out there elk hunting, that you don't have a story like that for your first encounter.
Oh, yeah, there's a ton of stories like that.
No, I'm talking where he's on the whole other side a mile away and sees the same exact herd that we see.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
That's something that's going to hook you instantly. That's bizarre.
I say never, knock on this wood. Are we going to ever get a scenario like that where we...
Knock on this wood.
That we freaking hunted elk and I busted them out and they ran to you guys. I mean, who could...
That's
a mile away, nonetheless.
Couple ridges.
It was a big deal. I mean, if you want to break it down, I mean, it was kind of a pivotal moment for us in our archery career, right? Really?
No,
we're laying down those rifles. We're done with this shit. Yeah. We're gonna get after it.
Well, it made us just switch. It flipped that switch in our head where we were like, "All right, well, that was really cool. If we're gonna do this, we need to step up our game."
Yeah. The only thing that spoils the whole thing is how many years did we hunt up there and not see one person? And then the word got out, and next thing you know, you're walking through timber and in the middle of no man's land, and you run into another hunter. That's just back to we keep our mouth shut about our hunting areas.
It's frustrating.
It, within within, okay, we hunted up there for what, 5-6 years mm-hmm. with not seeing anybody.
Yeah.
Well, and the word got out, and next thing you know, there was what, we'd see 3 or 4 or 5 people in the brush.
Yeah.
Well, and grant you, the thing about this particular spot is, like, where we live, I mean, it was, what, probably hour and 15 minutes?
Yeah, hour and 30 minutes, depending on, but yeah.
Yeah, hour and 30 minutes, we could be in the best elk hunting that we've ever been in, period. And it got completely blowed out.
Yeah. Well, in the early stages, in the early years of us hunting up there, I don't care. I would bet that was the best hunting, or it would.
It'll come back.
It would rate as the best hunting area or elk. You know, getting on elk as
Roosevelt in Western Oregon.
In Western Oregon as anybody else, because anywhere. We would go out for an elk season. For an elk season in Western Oregon, and we would see elk and get on elk and stalk elk every weekend. Yep. Every weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, but mind you here, you guys are probably saying, well, why don't you put something down every weekend? You're spotting and stalking. You're spotting and stalking a mile away.
Why didn't you put something down every weekend?
Well, I'll tell you. You come up here to 6,700 feet.
Try it out.
Rock slopes and stuff, and you spot an elk at a mile away. And try to put the stock on him. I'll bring anybody that wants to challenge that, come on up. Yeah. I'll guide you.
Hey.
And show you where we've seen them.
Where are them born and raised boys at? They're from Roseburg. Get them down here and do a little archery hunt.
Come on.
Yeah, for real. Hey, come on, Trevor. Get down here.
I think it's Trent.
Show us how it's done.
There's a Trevor in there too.
Yeah, born and
Trevor,
raised.
Trent, whoever you are.
Yeah.
Get down here. Let's do it up.
And then
guys hunt hard country too, though.
No, their stuff's thick. But I'm saying,
I challenge anybody, and I'm not tooting our horn or anything, G3. But I challenge anybody to come to the areas that we have hunted,
and
the steep and the slopes and the just,
try
it.
So back in the day. This is weird. I mean, I don't even know if it's true or not, but just thinking, putting it together, Haynes went to SOU in Ashland, and I know he's wrote an article about blacktail buck hunting up at the area we've hunted.
Oh, yeah.
Because he lived in Ashland, sure. So you know he found out about it. He's been up there. Yeah. He knows.
Yeah. Those blacktail are hard, though. They're wily, and I mean, we've seen them here. We've seen them here all elk season. Let's come back and let's hunt them. We get back there, they're gone. And then we put in 6 miles a day hiking around and this and that and tree standing, this and that, and you know, where the hell did the deer go?
But you guys stay tuned because we're gonna do us up an epic.
Blacktail
hunt.
Hey, knock on wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We think we got it down. Yeah. We're going to go up there and throw it down.
We're going to do it up.
Throw it down. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's what stemmed our archery hunting. We had been hunting bucks before that, but that was our first elk encounter, and we've been hooked ever since. And
hooked
us. Out of the 5-6 seasons we've hunted up there, we've had 3 successful seasons with elk on the ground, which it's 50%, but we're all learning and we're doing our thing. So,
yeah, we're doing it.
You can't just highlight the goods.
Well, and the other thing is too, we'd love to hunt more, but as we said in the last podcast,
we got a day to day job.
So, like what we're talking about elk hunting here, we're weekend hunters. We take a Friday off here and there. So, basically, we got 2 days. And what, a month and a half to put this all together? Two months to put it together. So,
yeah,
I don't know. We have fun at it. It's our passion. We love it.
You're getting about 12 full days of hunting during the season.
And we're not successful all the time, but it's fun. We love doing it, and we learn, and we learn, and we learn, and we learn. So we just add that to our notebook and.
And we do what we can do.
Do what we can do.
We do it up.
Hey. Yeah. Hey.
G-Tree.
G-Tree.
Out.